Good morning. It is good to see everybody here today. I guess, would it be all right to call that Hightower signature song, our choir? I think that'd be okay, right? I know it'd be okay. And I don't think I've heard that song countless number of times, but I don't think you've ever done any better than you done this morning. That was awesome. Amen. You're right. It was great. It was good. And it's because some of you folks are back that have been gone all summer long. I know that's why it is. So it's good to see all of you. It's good to see folks that are back today. We miss you. And I know many of you have been gone on vacation, and still some are. And there's still some folks down there in that baking heat at the campground. Maybe they'll come on back and be with us one day. I love all them. I'm just teasing. I hope they've had a wonderful time at camp meeting. I hope they've had good services. And I didn't get to get down there this year. I preached in a revival a night back earlier in the week. And so anyway, I hope they had a good camp meeting. I really do. I just like to tease them a little bit. Today we're going to read in the book of Acts. Well, before we do that, let's all stand and shake hands with someone seated around you there, if you would, please. Okay, now if you got your Bible, turn to the book of Acts. If you don't have one with you, there's one right there in the pew rack right in front of you. You can read along with us, Acts chapter number 9. A couple of verses that we're going to read there. This passage this morning is going to deal with a name pretty familiar with everybody. In fact, I preached a whole sermon about him not too terribly long ago. One of the aspects about his life that absolutely never changes, and it's a man named Barnabas. He's known as Mr. Encouragement all throughout the book of Acts. He is always there, and he's always encouraging those that are around him. But there's, on this occasion, the passage, he does something kind of different. It's still encouraging. He's going to always be absolutely known for that. But in this particular passage, you'll see something a little bit different, or something that I really want you and I to see very clearly, perhaps something that we've never even thought about before, and how we should be in our life. And the question I want to ask all of us today, is there a Barnabas in the house? You think about that. Is there a Barnabas in the house? I hope when this is over with today that you can look at your own life and say, you know what? I'm going to do my very best to be the Barnabas. Who I want to be. I want to pattern my life after this man. In Acts chapter number 9, verse 26 through 28. Verse number 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he asked to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Okay, now listen to this. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and read one more. And he was with them coming and going out at Jerusalem. That's all we'll read. And we're going to look at a couple other things in that chapter, perhaps, in just a moment. But first of all, if you go back, if you understand, I think I told you this last time. Barnabas' name, the name Barnabas is a nickname that he was given. His real name was Joseph. He is from Cyprus, and he is come to be a vital part in the outstart of the early church. The name Joseph, his name itself, really is a counterpart to the Old Testament Joseph. As you know, Joseph was very much a giving person, gave of his life, literally. and gave to the betterment of his people so that they would be saved. Well, that's the kind of man that Barnabas is. And they've given him this nickname. The name Barnabas is a nickname that's given to him. And it's a name that's stuck. And we're all familiar with nicknames. You ain't got to answer this question out loud or anything. But if I just said to you today, if I said to all of us in here, if I said, hey, have y'all ever watched old Larry Jones play ball? But now if I say, have you ever seen Chipper Jones play ball? You're going to know exactly who I was talking about. If you say the name Air Jordan, you know exactly who you're talking about. So this was the name Barnabas. It was a nickname that those apostles give to him because in Acts chapter number 4, you read where, you know, this is the early start of the church. And because of the persecution and stuff, a lot of these folks had literally left their job. And they didn't have means to support themselves. So here was Barnabas, who owned a tract of land and went and sold every bit of the land and gave every bit of the money to those apostles that would be distributed out to all of the people that was in need. So that's the kind of man that he was. He was, the Bible also tells us he was a Levite. What does that mean? Well, he probably had some minor duties. He wouldn't have been a high priest or a chief priest, but he would have had minor duties that he would have taken care of in the temple. So he done things like that. But he was definitely an encouraging man. He was, you look later, he is the man that encouraged Paul to take his missionary journeys. And actually, if you look in Acts chapter 11, verse 29, he's really the guy that instituted the collection plate. You can read it. And then he does the work of an evangelist. He ministered both to the Jewish people of his day and also the Greeks. He was a part of the Jerusalem Council that you read about in the book of Acts when there rose that problem of the Greek converts, the Gentile converts, become a problem for some of the people at the church at Jerusalem, and he's part of what they call the Jerusalem Council that goes back and gives word that says, you know, no, these people are with us and it's all okay and they're good and they're saved and they know who Jesus is. So he was part of that. And then also, I want us to look real quickly. When you read chapter 9, there is a lot that takes place in chapter 9. When you first begin reading the first two verses of chapter number 9 of the book of Acts, what do you see? You've got Saul, the terrorist. You've got a man that is went and got papers in order that he might go and round up all the Christians that he can possibly find and imprison them or do whatever they can possibly do or bring them literally to death if that's what it takes. He is Saul the terrorist in verses 1 and 2. He's breathing out threats against the church. Terrorist. And then when you look at verses 3 through 9, you see Saul, the man that is on the road to Damascus. And again, the reason that he's on that road is he is going after every Christian that he can possibly go after, but he has an encounter. And let me tell you something, folks, if there's any takeaway from that right there, don't ever feel like that somebody is too mean, absolutely too far away, because God can always work in the worst case scenario of folks' lives. And that's exactly what he done in this man's life. So don't ever look at somebody and say, oh, you know, they're too much of a threat to the church, they're too bad, they're too this or whatever, because God met that man, Saul, on the road to Damascus and literally changed him. And then when you look at verses 20 through 25 there, along about, you're going to see that's when he's at, when after his conversion, he has that conversion on the road to Damascus. He submits himself to the Lord. He realizes that there's something far greater that's going on in his life than he is, than all the letters that he can obtain and all the threats that he can make against Christianity. He realizes that this gospel that's being preached, he realizes that there's truth in it. And so, long story short, he becomes a Christian. He becomes a saved man on the road to Damascus. And then he spends that period of time in the home with Ananias. So you see, when you read Acts chapter number 9 from the beginning to the end, it takes a lot. Everything that happens doesn't happen as fast as you can read it. There's a good bit of time that is passing in this passage of Scripture. Well, now Paul has become a Christian. And he's a man that is out proclaiming and preaching the gospel. Now he wants to go back to Jerusalem, where the church really got its start there. He wants to go back to Jerusalem and be a part of them. So Saul comes back to Jerusalem. He comes back definitely a changed man, but he comes back to join up with those folks. Well, how did the church receive him? You know what? They were afraid of him. Can you blame them? Not really. Not really, you can't. They didn't believe his testimony even. Can you blame them? Well, not really. But This is the but. But Barnabas. But Barnabas. And that's the thing that you got to keep in mind. Here was a man that was willing to put his own reputation on the line for this man. And that's why I said to you and I, is there a Barnabas in the house? Look back again with me just real quickly at that verse 27. It said, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way." In other words, Barnabas actually is the one that is telling them of Saul or Paul's experience of grace. He is telling them what has happened to this man on the road to Damascus, and he is declaring it to all those apostles that are there. The Lord spoke to him. And then he goes on and tells what has transpired in his life since he became a Christian. He tells about how he has been a man that has been out preaching the gospel. So Barnabas literally puts his reputation on the line for this man. Now, you could almost look at it in one way like this, in a way. The church hadn't changed a whole lot. And I don't mean to be negative or critical or anything. That's not what I'm trying to be. But really and truly, the church saw a problem. Barnabas saw potential in somebody. And so I ask all of us today, when somebody comes in or somebody that's different or something, do we automatically assume that they're a problem, or are we willing to be like Barnabas and see somebody that is of potential? Big difference in how we view people. Church saw a problem. Barnabas sees potential. Barnabas wasn't the kind of man that was looking back at his life. He wasn't looking back at what he had been or anything, but rather Barnabas was a man that was looking towards his future and seeing the future potential of this man. And so many times today in churches all across America and really all across the world today, you let somebody new come up on the ground, and you know what folks will do? Now I hope we do our very best to make people always feel welcome. But somebody's going to always say this: I wonder what they're doing here today. I wonder why they come. Why are they here today? You know. But we want to do our very best to always embrace and make folks welcome. Let's do this morning, all of us. Let's play something out in our minds today. When we come into church, if you was If you've never been to a church before, you go into a new church. And even think of it like this. What about if you're a person that comes into a church who has never really been in church before? I mean, you are really brand new to church. And you walk in the doors of any church, most any church all across America, especially if it's rural America. And you walk in the church, and the first thing you're going to see or realize is, and there's nothing wrong with this, okay? There's absolutely nothing wrong with this. Most older churches are very family-oriented. There's nothing wrong with that. But you walk in that church, and there's going to be a group of families sitting here. There's going to be a group of families sitting here, and there's going to be a group of families sitting here. And they've sat there ever since Grandma and Grandpa was there. I mean, that's just the truth. Am I saying there's anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. So don't leave here offended at me, okay? I'm not trying to be offensive to nobody. I'm just stating facts. Okay? That happens. Well, for someone that's new in church, sometimes that might be a little difficult. That's why we should be like Barnabas. Let me tell you a story in my own life. Now, I've never been much of a father to my children in church. Now, that might come to a shock to you, but I've always sat in the pulpit. Okay? So, Cindy's always, she's been the one that got the kids there, made sure everything was this, that, and the other. I go to pastor a church one time. This is the honest truth. No lie whatsoever, the truth. I go on in up to the front. It's my first Sunday that I am just, you know, I'm excited. I've come to be these folks, pastor, just tickled to death to be there, you know. Cindy brings the kids in. They sit down about three benches from the front. And lo and behold, this lady comes up and looks right at my wife and says, "You're in our seat." Now, folks, that's the truth. That happened. And this lady knew me. I don't know whether she knew Cindy or not, but she's known me ever since I was this tall, probably. But that's exactly what happened. Now, that's not a Barnabas, is it? Not a Barnabas at all. I mean, you know, listen, folks. If the seating chart gets messed up a little bit, it won't be the end of the world. You know. But that's why it's so important that you and I be a Barnabas and have the kind of attitude that he had. And then sometimes we have a tendency to look at people if they're not... Now remember, we're talking about people that's perhaps never been to church before, okay? I'm not talking about somebody that's raised up in church or anything like that and they've just come to visit you one Sunday. I'm talking about folks that have never been a part of church whatsoever. Sometimes they're not going to always come in dressed like whatever we consider dress appropriate. Well, now there's going to be a time when you may literally have to, you know, approach that. I mean, you know, there's things that's church appropriate and there's things that's not church appropriate. That's all there are to it, you know. That's just being honest again. But that don't mean that you don't work with somebody. That don't mean that you don't try to tell them the right way. Show them the right way by your own example in church. I'll tell you one more quick story. Good friend of mine, he's done gone on, but I'm just going to tell it like it was, okay? Or like it, this is just the truth. Cuss like a sailor, okay? He's still a good friend. And he and I went out to, Edwin knows exactly who I'm talking about. He and I went out to eat lunch one day, and we went to the old Shoney's. It's where the Cracker Barrel is now in Cumming. And we sat down, and here comes four of the finest ladies that I've ever known in my life. In fact, one of them will probably be here tonight. She probably still sings Monday night. Of the choir at Cold Mountain. Fine women. Known me again since I was this tall. Them ladies come and sit right down in a booth right beside us. Man, you know, I am thinking, what in the world am I going to do? And he wasn't a low talker either. Sometimes folks has habits that we don't approve of, but that still don't mean that we don't try to help them folks make a difference in their life. And I will tell you this, I can't say that the boy completely just fully 100% cleaned up his tongue. I really can't. But I can tell you this. He got back in church and got involved in it and was there pretty much every Sunday. That's a good thing. And you know, if you don't take the Barnabas approach towards people, sometimes you'll do more harm and run them off, or somebody that could have been of great potential. And then this is kind of humorous, and I don't mean this in an ugly way. I'm talking about folks coming inside your church that's never been inside church before. It's like on the day that we take the Lord's Supper. Now remember, I'm talking about somebody that comes to church that's never been a part of church before, don't really know about how things goes on. I mean, you know what they see? Now, please don't. I'm not being disrespectful about the Lord's Supper, okay? I'm telling you how people from outside of the church would view stuff like that. They come into church and we offer them a shot glass of wine and a piece of bread that's tough as leather. I mean, that's just the truth, folks. And when I say that, I'm talking about people that's never been in church before. Do we try to be an encouragement to those people and try to help those people? That was the kind of man that Barnabas was to Paul. He come along and he vouched for him. He put his own reputation on the line in order that this man might be a part, and look at what he become and what he was. The church today needs more modern day Barnabases. Folks that would look and realize the potential of somebody. Not somebody that just look and be critical of somebody and say, you know, they got too much of a past. And I'm going to tell you something. If anybody had a past, you ain't going to find nobody that's got much worse past than Paul had. Very rough, bad past. But the Lord had changed him. And we need to realize that when the Lord has changed people, we don't need to look at their past. We don't need to be digging into somebody's past. We need to be looking at what the potential that somebody can literally have. And look, you know what? What if it hadn't been for Barnabas? Well, you know what? As far as we know, Barnabas wrote there's no writings. But whose life did he influence? Well, we know that he influenced the life of Paul, who wrote all those books in the New Testament. And then we also know that he was an influence on Mark, who wrote the book of Mark. So think about all that this man, and you know something else, he never really gets. I mean, you know, you and I get it because we read this passage and we read through it, but when this is happening, there's really not a whole lot of limelight in his life. And actually, when you read about Barnabas and Paul, it starts out, it's going to always name Barnabas and then Paul. Barnabas and then Paul. And then when you get over into about probably the 15th chapter, that's when there's no more Barnabas. And a few chapters prior to that, it's going to be Paul and Barnabas. He was okay with taking the back seat. Some folks can't do that. He was okay with that. It was no longer Barnabas and Paul, but Paul and Barnabas. God had great intentions for Paul and for his life, and he rose to a level that most are never going to be at, because God had specifically, I believe, had plans for this man's life and plans for him. But if it hadn't been for Barnabas, reckon what might have become of Paul. What if they'd have went back in the church at Jerusalem, would have absolutely have not accepted this man. And I know that, I know in our minds we can always say and think, well, you know, God would have worked and God would have done this, that, or the other, some way or another. Well, he probably would have, but there's one thing that we do know about it. He chose to work through this man, Barnabas. That's why I ask all of us today, is there a Barnabas in the house? Are we willing to be like Barnabas? Are we willing sometimes, if it means putting our reputation on the line, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to be the kind of person that encourages someone? Are we willing to be the kind of person that doesn't look and dig into somebody's past, but that we look at somebody and say, you know what? There is a changed person. There is a child of God, and therefore there is somebody that has potential. That was the way Barnabas looked at Paul. And that's the way you and I need to look at folks. So again, I ask you, is there a Barnabas in the house? I hope and pray that all of us today could strive to be more like Barnabas. Yes, you could preach all day about him being an encourager. And he was. The nickname fit him well. And he lived up to it. But in the world that you and I live in today, we need modern day Barnabas. We need modern day Barnabases. People that would be encouraging. People that would vouch for you. People that would stand beside you. People that would help you. I'm satisfied that while there's no record of this, but evidently when you read that particular passage, Barnabas and Paul must have at some time or another had a very deep conversation. Because when you ever notice what he tells? He is the one that is literally telling the apostles Paul's conversion. He's telling them. He's telling them about him in the way, on the road, God speaking to him. He knew all of that to tell. So evidently they'd had a pretty good conversation in life. And they knew one another pretty good. And I would venture to say that I think it would be okay to say this. Barnabas probably gave Paul some instructions that he would need, that would be helpful to him when he does get to those people and when he does join up with those apostles. So that's why I said, you know, you can be a Barnabas and help folks that may be struggling. Help the person that may have a bad habit to overcome that habit. Help the person that might not know what church appropriate dress is. Help them. Be a Barnabas. And you'll be blessed for it, because Barnabas was. Throughout his whole time, God blessed him. And I believe it was because he was a man that was faithful to God. And I believe that it was because he was a man that looked for the good in folks. And all of us can do that if we want to. It's just a matter of wanting to sometimes. God bless you this morning is my prayer. If you're here today, you're not a Christian, we want to give you that opportunity. The Lord has dealt with you sometime, whether it's today, last week, last month, last year, whenever it might have been, while we sing this verse of song.